I want this morning to draw your attention to the portion of scripture that we read earlier in this service. In 2 Kings chapter 4, we have here the story of a mother, the woman of Shunem. Today is Mother's Day, or so the world has told us. I was always taught that every day was Mother's Day, but this is what is properly termed Mothering Sunday. And I thought that it would be good to bring a message that had particular relevance to mothers, though with application for everyone, because we wouldn't want just the mothers to listen and everyone else to switch off. The mothers of Scripture are very interesting characters to study, and none more so than the Shunammite woman. She is described by the Lord in His Word in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 8 as a great woman. It fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. And having a good mother, I can certainly identify with that, because I believe that my mother is a great woman. And it is a good thing to be able to say that of your mother. I think it is true of most mothers. There are always exceptions, of course. But mothers, generally speaking, are great people. And this was a great woman. But we find something interesting about this woman, and that is that she almost never became a mother in the first place. But God, in grace and mercy, granted to her a child when her husband was old. I see parallels here to the life of Abraham. The woman of Shunem, I'm sure, was no spring chicken herself, so to speak, but her husband was certainly an old man, and by her response to the statement, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son, it is obvious that she didn't think that such a thing was possible. A bit like Sarah, when she laughed at the idea that her and Abraham would have a child. Mothers are very privileged people, because not all women have that joy of being able to bear children. That is not the will of God for them. But motherhood is indeed a gift of God. And children, the psalmist tells us, are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Now this Shunammite woman eventually, late on in life, had a baby boy. But when he grew into older childhood, he suddenly died. Just as suddenly as it seems he was given to that family, he was taken away from them. However, being a woman of great faith, she did trust God to restore her child to her, and so she went to see the prophet Elisha, that he might perform the miracle of resurrection. The Bible tells us that as she approached the dwelling place of the prophet, he saw her afar off. He sent his servant Gehazi to meet her, and he gave his servant three questions to put to that woman. Those three questions, I believe, are rather interesting, and they could well be addressed to mothers today, certainly with reference to each family member. Now, what are those questions? 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 26. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Question number one. Is it well with thy husband? Question number two. Is it well with the child? Question number three. And she answered, it is well. Now I believe that in these questions and in the answer that was given, we have some things suggested for our spiritual benefit. And this morning I would like to ask each of the mothers, especially and particularly, these questions. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? You could say this is really a message for families. The family is a great institution, and there's no institution that is more under attack in America today than the family. I don't want to get off into a rabbit trail, but there is something perverse about a young woman who makes her living flaunting her body, telling the country that she's defending Christian marriage. We have that spectacle at the moment of right-wing commentators, and I am a conservative in my politics, but I'm disgusted by people who think that it's a good thing to bring a young woman who spends her time modeling lingerie and swimwear onto a supposed Christian program to speak about the family. Where have we come to in this country? But I do digress. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. On this Mother's Day, I want us to think first of all about this question. The first question refers to mothers personally. Is it well with thee? Now this morning you might well say, as a mother, and I'm speaking to the mothers particularly at the moment, domestically and socially, for me, it is well. We have a very happy home. We have a nice family. And that's good. That's wonderful. Because, folks, this is a day of much unhappiness. This is a day when, in this country and many other countries, there are homes that are wrecked and broken and ruined by sin. Wives and husbands that have been split up or separated or divorced, children caught between the two, there's some very, very unhappy situations out there. We know that there are people and they live in houses together, but they don't live in a home. Because home is where the heart is. And where there is constant domestic strife, you have a house rather than a home. Now, of course, all families have their difficulties. All of us have our little tiffs, don't we? All of us have our little disagreements and arguments. But isn't it a sad thing when some do nothing else, it would appear, but fight and wrangle and argue? And the home is not happy as a result. These things ought not so to be. But what a privilege it is to have a happy home. There are many who do not enjoy that. You know why? Because the gospel does not reign supreme in the home. That is why. That's always the answer. That's always the reason for strife, because the gospel is not reigning in the home. When I was a young child, it's strange how you remember these things, and the older you get, the better you remember them. We used to have in our living room a plaque, and it said, Christ is the head of this house. Christ is the head of this house. The unseen guest at every meal. The silent listener to every conversation. And that really stuck with me. It was a red plaque. And it was in our home when I was born, I guess, because I can never remember a time when it wasn't there. But I used to sit at the table and sometimes look at it and read it. Christ is the head of this home. The unseen guest at every meal. The silent listener to every conversation. What a difference it would make to families, Christian families, if that were always remembered. Perhaps you could say this morning, it is well with me. It is well with me as a mother in my home, in that my husband and my children look after me very well, and I have the flowers to prove it. They're very kind to me. There are some poor mothers who have families who treat them like dirt, treat them very badly. And if there's one thing that I hate to see, it is the children of a home treating their mother like a common serf or slave and without proper respect. And younger people and older people whose parents are alive this morning, let me say to you that God still says in his word, honour thy father and thy mother. And there's no age limit on that. There's no age limit on that. It doesn't say honour thy father and thy mother until you get to be 18 or 21. It says honour thy father and thy mother, and you continue to do that right up until the time when they're gone. It is a mark of the last days, according to 2 Timothy, when children are disobedient to parents. That's one of the marks of apostasy. Disobedient to parents. And if you are a mother this morning with a kind and good family, that's a blessing to be thankful for. That is a great blessing. And so in that sense, you might say to me, it is well. It may be that an answer to the question, is it well with thee? You can say, yes, it is well. But there's another sense in which we could pose the question, spiritually, is it well with thee? Perhaps you are not able to sing, and here I don't want to just speak to the mothers, but to all that are here, and to all who might hear this message. Perhaps you are not able to sing, it is well with my soul. Perhaps you cannot sing with Horatio Spafford, my sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Maybe you can't say that today because you have never received Christ as your Savior and Lord. You've never repented of your sins. You have never been saved by God's grace. You do not have a relationship with God such as this woman of Shunem had, this mother of whom we have read. If that's the case, it is not well with you. It is not well. And if you were to pass from this scene of time as you are, it would not be well for you everlastingly. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. It shall be well, it shall be ill. Which is it for you this morning? The book of Ecclesiastes also has something to say along these lines. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. There you have it again. For the righteous, it shall be well with them that fear God. But it shall not be well with the wicked. Mother, is it well with your never dying soul? Man, is it well with your soul? Young person, is it well with your soul? Now I know, and I'm speaking very personally here, that mothers, good mothers, are very unselfish. I've never met a more unselfish person than my mother, apart from my wife, I have to say that. My mother is a very unselfish person. My mother is the kind, if you were given a bar of chocolate, she was given a bar of chocolate, you had the same size of bar of chocolate as her, she would break hers in half and give you half of it. It's just the way she is. Forgive the personal reference, but I'm thinking about her today. Mothers are very unselfish. And the scripture speaks of the godly woman, the Proverbs 31 woman we call her. And among all the wonderful things that are spoken of her, you know what it says? In verse 27 of Proverbs 31, she looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. There is a great mother. And those of you who have had good mothers or still have good mothers can agree with that. She looketh well to the ways of her household. She's not thinking about herself. She's thinking about them, considering her family before herself. But I want to tell you that in the matter of salvation, you need to know that it is well with your own soul first. You need to know that. Is it well with thee? That's the first question. And it's a question that was posed to this particular mother personally. Is it well with thee? But not only is this a question, the first of these, which refers to the mother personally, but there is another question. Is it well with thee as a partner? Because here's the second inquiry. Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy husband? And so we turn our attention to the men folk now, and I could say to any husbands that are here, is it well with you? Is it well with you? That wife of yours perhaps is a Christian, but of course that does not save you, and the same is true in the reverse. Just because a man is a Christian doesn't mean that his wife is automatically then a Christian. It's always a sad thing to see the unequal yoke in operation in a family. I've known some friends in that very position. When they first were married, both of them were unsaved, and then at some point along in the marriage, one of them was converted. And it makes for a very difficult situation. Because the Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And when there's not that agreement on the things of God, that's a very difficult situation. Now, salvation is an intensely personal thing. I've known in my ministry of wives, and I have to say it seems to be more common in that way, that there are women that are saved whose husbands are not saved, but of course it works the other way also. But I've known of some godly wives who constantly prayed and cried tears for their husbands because they were not right with God. And I would say to any person in that position, perhaps that spouse of yours is praying constantly for your salvation. Have you not stopped to consider how you stand before God? But to return to the mother, is it well with thy husband? The question was posed to her, you see. Is it well with thy husband? You are a believer. You are a Christian. But what about him? Is he saved? Now, those of you this morning who can say yes to that question ought to be very thankful to God. What a blessing it is to have a wife or a husband that loves Christ. You're both on the same page. You're both serving the Lord together. To quote Peter, you're heirs together of the grace of life. That's a wonderful blessing. What a joy it is to see Christian couples, to see Christian families. That is the bedrock of society. I think of the parents of John the Baptist. Listen to how they were described. What an example John had growing up in that home. Luke chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 6. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. They were both righteous before God, both walking with God, both seeking to live their lives according to the Scriptures. Men and women, a Christian partner in life is the greatest blessing, apart from your own salvation. But if your spouse is not a believer, it ought to be a continual cause for concern to you. And you ought never to rest content until you know that it is well with their soul for eternity. Now, I know based on my experience in ministry that a lot of people tend to be in denial on this matter, and they kid themselves and they fool themselves that their spouse is a Christian. You know why they do that? Because they can't bear to think that that husband or that wife might possibly end up in a lost eternity. They don't want to think about that. They don't want to consider the possibility of that, and so they kid themselves that really that ungodly husband, it's not that he's not saved, he's just backslidden. Or that unsaved wife, it's not that she's not saved, she just isn't right in some areas. Instead of being burdened, instead of praying and seeking God earnestly for that one, some will soothe themselves with this thought: well, if that person were to depart this life, everything would be well. But is it really well? Is it really well with your soul? And is it really well with his soul? Is it really well with her soul? Because if it is not, you ought to become concerned and ask the Lord to give you a burden and a desire to see that one brought to Christ. It is your duty as a Christian spouse to pray and to win your spouse for Christ. I think that there are many women and even some men who have a very difficult life because of an unconverted partner. But listen, God can use us to reach others for Christ, even those who live in our own homes. You know, when Paul was talking about marriage, when he was teaching on marriage in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he talked about this very thing. Look at it with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, from verse 13. And the woman, and he's talking here about a Christian woman, he's talking about a believer. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. Sometimes it comes to that, and you can't help it. If they're going to leave, especially because of your Christian testimony, there's not a lot you can do. I tell you, the unbelieving spouse has a blessing that they're not even oftentimes aware of because their spouse is a Christian. The unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. There is a blessing that comes. It's not the blessing of salvation. It doesn't mean that that unbelieving husband is now automatically a Christian because his wife is, or that the other way round is also the case. That's not true. But the Lord is speaking here of the responsibility that comes upon the believing partner in a home to be a blessing to the other person. And by a consistent testimony, Peter tells us that you can be a means of winning your husband or your wife, as the case may be. Particularly here, it's the husbands to the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 3 and the first two verses. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. It means by their manner of life, their deportment, and their behavior. While they behold your chaste conversation or manner of life, coupled with fear. You see here what it says about that. That partner can be won. That's the term that the Holy Spirit uses. They may, without the word, be one. One to what? One to Christ. One to the gospel. Because of the godly deportment and behavior of that wife. So, I say again to the mothers, is it well with thee? Personally, Is it well with you as a partner? Is it well with thy husband? And then there's a question for the mother as a parent. It's the third inquiry that was posed by the servant of Elisha to the Shunammite woman. Is it well with the child? And of course, in the context, you could say, humanly speaking, it was not well with the child. The child had died. The child had a terrible headache, and as a result of that, he was carried to his mother. I think that's very touching. He said to his father, "My head, my head." And how many fathers have said the same thing? Take him to his mother. There's nobody like mom when things aren't going well, isn't that right? I know that from my daughters when they would fall and skin their knees. They didn't want to see me. They wanted to see their mom. That's the way it is. Carry him to his mother. And even though he was dead at the time, the mother said, "It is well." She was a woman of faith. She believed that it would be well. But listen to this. Is it well with the child? The very reason that you can be called a mother is your children. That's why mothers are called mothers, because of their children. Mother's Day is particularly a day for the children to show love to their mothers, though they should do that every day. And you could have lovely children, well-mannered and nice children, and no doubt your children are the best in the world. Butter wouldn't melt in their mouths and they're angels ready to sprout their wings. But spiritually speaking, seriously, is it well with them? Is it well with them? That should be your greatest concern. Is it well with the child? Now, one thing we can say about true mothers. A true mother has a great interest in her children. She loves her children. You see that in the animal kingdom. One of the cutest things my wife and I ever came across since we've lived in Pennsylvania was one night on the way to church some years ago. There was a mother deer at the side of the road, and there were cars stopped both directions because that mother deer had two little spotted Bambis with her. But they had somehow stayed on the one side of the road, and she was on the other side of the road, and she wasn't going to leave them. And no matter about the danger to herself, and the poor thing didn't know what to do, she was scared. But yet she loved these little ones, and she was trying to call them and call them, and eventually they, in their gangly way, ran across the road and they all disappeared into a thicket. It was the cutest thing. And I thought to myself that day, the love of a mother. And yet how often we see that denied in our land by people's practice. We have the whole Holocaust of abortion. We have children abandoned. We have children that are left by uncaring mothers in their thousands. It's beyond belief. And those of you who are good mothers cannot understand any mother doing that. I know you have to take into account sometimes the mental state of a mother. I understand that. I understand all of these other extraneous things that may come into play in certain situations, so that you can't be too judgmental. However, I cannot understand for the life of me a mother abandoning her child. It's unnatural. But God has said that even that greatest of all human instincts, and it is a great instinct, can be repelled and it can be suppressed. Listen to this. Isaiah chapter 49 verse 15. The Lord poses the question, chapter 49, the 15th verse. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Is that possible? Yea, they may forget. Yet will I not forget thee. Here you have a love that is even greater than that of a human mother. The love of God. But we know that real loving mothers are much too interested in their offspring to do that. They will not forget their sucking child. that they should not have compassion on the son of their womb. But are there not some mothers and indeed fathers, Christians, who are guilty of a worse crime, spiritually abandoning their children? There are parents who are more concerned about seeking a good station in life for their children than they are for their spiritual welfare. They're more concerned about them making the grade socially, educationally, than they are about their spiritual welfare. And this ought not to be. Is it well with the child? The children can be saved, and indeed they can be saved as children. And they need to be saved. And I can never remember a time in my life when I was not having it impressed upon me, not only in church, not only in Sunday school, but at home, that I needed to be saved. That I needed to be saved. That I would not get to heaven because my parents were saved, or because my sisters had professed salvation. I was constantly told, you need to have dealings with God. God must have dealings with you personally. And if a child understands enough this morning to be saved, he's capable of being lost. He is lost. And so I say to the children that are here this morning, listen to me. Is it well with you? Is it well with you? Mom may well be saved. Dad may well be saved. But are you saved? Do you truly know Christ? Are you ready for heaven? Do you love the Lord Jesus? Can it be said that you're like young Samuel before God called him? 1 Samuel chapter 3, we have this wonderful story of this little boy in the temple, in the house of God. He had a godly mother. Hannah prayed for him before he was ever born. And then when he was born, she loaned him to the Lord as she had promised to do, gave him over to God's service. 1 Samuel 3 verse 7 says, Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. He wasn't yet saved. Is that your position this morning, young person, child, in the service? Samuel did not know the Lord. Oh, he knew about the Lord, but he didn't know the Lord. You'll notice that the Lord Jesus said, Suffer the little children to come unto me. Allow the little children to come unto me. Let us not be like the disciples who drove back the mothers of Salem. Keep the children away. They're too young to know anything about the things of God. No, they're not. You're not too young to come to Jesus, for he loves the little child. But remember Deuteronomy chapter 6, speaking to the parents, and here's a word for the mothers and indeed the fathers. He said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And listen to this. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Are you teaching the things of God to your children with diligence? And listen to this. Not only thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, but verse 7 also says, And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And I know that my parents literally did that, because scripture texts were hanging in prominent places throughout our home. What interest do your children have in the things of God? Is it well with the child? Parents, what are you doing about the salvation of your children? Are you praying for them? Are you praying with them? Are you living the life before them? The Bible says, Proverbs 22 verse 6, Train up a child in the way that he shall go, and when he is old he will not depart from it. The word for training up there is literally the word catechize.
catechize.
Training in that systematic way. Ephesians chapter 6 again has a word for the mothers and indeed the fathers. It's talking about the parents. Ephesians 6, 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. As a parent, is it well with the child? A true mother has a great interest in her children. A true mother has a great influence upon her children. And with this we will finish. I know this again personally, and you'll forgive the reference, that your mother is a key figure in your life. The mother is a key figure in a child's life. The father is as well. But think of how much time the child spends with mother. And mother can be a great influence for good or for evil. And we've examples in the Bible of this. We've examples of those who were a bad influence upon their children. 2 Chronicles, the chapter 22, and verse 3, it says of this man, he also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. She taught him wickedness. How many mothers in America this morning are teaching their children wickedness? And sometimes we've cause to say of some young person, look how that girl is dressed. But then again, look how her mother is dressed. Is it any wonder that the girl is the way she is? Look at the mother. Mothers can have a bad influence on their children. As is the daughter, so is the mother. As is the mother, so is the daughter, rather. That's what it says in Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 44. And that's the way it is very often, is it not? Behold, everyone that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. That's well illustrated in Mark chapter 6, where an evil woman who hated John the Baptist was waiting for her opportunity to get her own back on him. Mark chapter 6 from verse 22, it says, and when the daughter of the said Herodias came in, who was Herodias? She was the wife of Philip, but then Herod took her to be his wife. They were living in adultery, and John the Baptist told them that it was not lawful. He said to Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore, Herodias had a quarrel against him. She had a real grudge and would have killed him, but she could not. But she waited for her opportunity. And her daughter was the vehicle that she used. When the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, that was an immoral, wicked dance, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. Watch this. And she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. Her mother was responsible for this. And parents have a grave responsibility to their children. There are examples in Scripture of mothers on this Mother's Day, let's think about it, who had a bad influence upon their children. But on the other hand, we see those mothers who had a good influence on their children. We've spoken of one already, Hannah. What a godly mother she was. Samuel could always thank God and praise God for that. He would have been one of those children spoken of in Proverbs 31 who arise up and call her blessed because of her influence upon him. There's a New Testament example of this as well, and it's young Timothy. Timothy became a man of God in his own right. I do believe that a big part of that, a big part that was played in his life, was the influence of his mother and indeed his grandmother. Paul, writing of that, said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. All the influence of godly mothers training up their children for the Lord, knowing that God must save them. knowing that God must cause them to imbibe the truth, but nevertheless doing what God has told them to do, bringing them up in the fear, nurture, and admonition of the Lord. We pay tribute to godly mothers today, and we see in this godly mother an example to us. And I trust that we will think about the questions that were posed to her and the question that was answered in each case with the statement, "It is well." Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, "It is well." May it be well with our families for Jesus' sake.